Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The host of the Baseball Postgame Show and also Spring Training Live, Tim Allen and Baby Tausch, joining us here inside our studios at American Family Fields of Phoenix.
Hey, I'll be all right with me, at least going third or fourth in the pecking order. Baker Mayfield down in the Brewers clubhouse.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a jersey in there. Got a Brewer jersey locked in.
Nice.
In between Shaw and Yelich.
We got some comments from Yelich on Mayfield. We got comments from Mayfield. And then I'm sure Council's going to mention something. So we'll rifle that back to the studio and
get
anything interesting.
There
we'll
you
get
go.
On for you. But, yeah, that's – the weird thing now in the NFL, we all know the Packers are the lead story. You know that, Bill.
Yep.
And but around the NFL as a whole, nationally, boy, those Browns are making headlines.
Yeah, they are.
So you got the National League MVP down in that club.
Well, basically, you have the Packers East now in Cleveland. When you talk about the management team,
yeah,
you know. So I mean, if you're kind of a quasi Packers fan rooting for somebody in the AFC, you might start rooting for the Cleveland Browns.
I think he's going to take some ground balls at third.
That's where his natural position was back in high school. Said he was an all right baseball player.
Yeah.
And he'll do some BP, I would
assume.
Crank
a couple out.
Right out here. They have a uniform, the whole deal down
there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to look forward to that.
Manny Pena threw on the Cleveland Browns helmet.
Did he really? Does he know what it is?
Well, he was
oh, I got it on backwards.
He was going to use that in a game today.
He could. I don't know, man. I think he could do a little pulling guard back in the day.
He could. He's a thick dude, man.
He could get out there and
yeah.
move it laterally.
He could center. There's no doubt he could center.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Yeah. And you know, Bill, the quick twitch on the outside, the subtle step of
stab. Got to use footwork to be able to get outside and block a ball in the dirt, man. No doubt about it. We just had David Stearns up, and a couple pieces of news was no structural damage inside Jeremy Jeffress, and they're talking about the possibility of him being there opening day. How big is that?
Yeah, it's big, and Council said earlier in the week that more likely than not he's going to end up, you know, on the injured list to start the season. Well, maybe they did receive in the last day or two a little bit of better news for Jeremy Jeffress. That, you know, our conversation with Corey Knebel and some of the other bullpen arms out there, I mean, he's key. I mean, you're looking at 70-plus appearances, 73 to be exact, ERA under 1.5. He is so key to that bullpen, and they all are individually, but, man, that is great news.
Well, and what he did, too, a lot last year, guys, was be a closer when the game could turn at any time. In the fifth and sixth inning, he's coming in with two guys on and one out or no outs and being put in some pretty precarious situations. When he can be that lightning rod of a closer in the middle of the game to bridge the gap into the Josh Hader and Corey Knebel in the back end, they're going to be really dangerous again.
I asked him about the Brewers changing the face of baseball because we still see guy like Dallas Keuchel sitting out there. First of all, they have no intention of going out and getting another arm. They believe that they have enough depth that this is the way they're going to go. Now, if they have another starter go down or Chase Anderson is really bad or what have you, maybe they go in that direction. But as of right now, there is no thought about going out and getting it. This is the team you're going to have on the field opening day.
Pretty much. And they have been known. You know, Wade Miley signing last year was way, way late in camp. I guess there's an outside shot for a name and a pitcher like that. But it doesn't appear that it's going to be a Dallas Keuchel type
situation.
You're
2 weeks away from opening day.
Yeah. And so you got to lean on Chase Anderson. You got to lean
less
on
than
Zach
2 weeks,
Davis.
Right? Wait a minute, less than 2 weeks.
Yes.
Less than two weeks.
Weeks.
Oh my God! 2 weeks yesterday. Holy mackerel!
13 days from opening day. So you're going to have to lean on these guys right now, and in part, it is why Craig Council handles the bullpen and this organization handles the bullpen the way they do. It's not necessarily about the new trend in baseball. That's part of it for sure. They see the analytics, they see the third time through, and they see dramatic difference in the numbers. But I think a bigger part is because of personnel that they have. If you've got a strong bullpen and no, you know, 1-2 punch in the rotation, why wouldn't you do it this way?
Well, and one of the things that I like about it, guys, and I don't know about where you guys stand, is you're balancing winning now and developing young pitching at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a guy like Burns, Peralta, and Woodruff, you got to figure out exactly when you're going to be able to find them consistent innings, because that's the future of your team. And if you want to sustain success like Stearns has preached ever since he got this job, is you have to develop those young guys at the big league level. They did a really nice job last year moving them into starting roles, also into the bullpen with Woodruff on both, and Burns coming in and being a high leverage reliever. I think that just sets you up so much better to get them into the rotation for almost a full slate this year and continually build those guys up, because when you can do it in the NFL with a quarterback that's on a rookie contract, you can do it with starting pitching in Major League Baseball on rookie contracts. You're sitting in a really, really dangerous position.
We were talking more so with David Stearns about this team. I didn't get outside of this team in the division, but again, I'm watching this morning, and everybody says, "Look, if you got Lester, if you got Quintana, if you got obviously Yu Darvish, that's the best team." Do you feel that way?
I think
if they have that starting pitching,
well, one thing I do know, I firmly believe this, and I think a lot of Brewer fans do, and I think a lot of industry people do as well. The days of the Brewers being the little brother to the Chicago Cubs are over.
To a point.
They've got to deal with a bigger payroll. I get it.
To a point.
And the only reason I would lean toward, you know, that's tough to beat kind of mentality is because they're left-handed arms, and there's three of them. There's three of them in Chicago that's going to take a lot of thump away from this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know this organization really values left-handed power. It's clear and obvious. Well,
just look at the number of lefties that are now on this team. Yeah, holy mackerel.
Absolutely. Now, that's with Quintana, Hamels, and Lester, that's going to neutralize that a little bit. But I don't think – well, I do think – the domination days of Chicago over Milwaukee are over. I look at the 18, 19 games they're going to go head-to-head. I do look at it as about 500. They're going to be right within the realm of each other.
On the field, yes, I agree with you that it's now as even as it's ever been. The fan perspective, let's all calm down. They have about there's about 1/10 of the population of the city of Chicago, the Chicagoland area, in the Milwaukee area.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have people come up to Miller Park, and it's still gonna be loud. It's still
Braun,
gonna be that.
I saw Braun this morning, and we were talking
yep.
about that, and we kind of gave the wink and a nod, and he kind of looked like, you know, hey, that's the only thing. If we could change, we want, you know, fans to
right.
buy those tickets and keep those tickets.
It would be awesome, and it would be great. But I mean, look at Cleveland in Game 7 of the World Series. That place was 50-50, and that was a championship
mm-hmm.
game to win
well,
the title.
They had 108 years to fill that stadium
right.
down there.
No doubt. And
come on.
But to the point of the two teams on the field, that Cubs team, I think, is getting a little bit undervalued with what that offense can
Agreed.
Do, too. And they, outside of Javier Baez and Anthony Rizzo kind of being what Anthony Rizzo is, they had a little bit of a down year last
year. Oh, absolutely.
And if they can right the ship with Chris Bryant, Addison Russell, once he comes back off his suspension, Javi Baez does what he does, they're going to be in this thing all the way up till the end. The only thing about that starting pitching, guys, with Hamels, Lester, and Quintana, you also look at the rest of that lineup. Outside of Hendricks and Quintana, they're all over 35. So
right.
so there's some long years on those arms, and,
yeah.
and if the Brewers are able to get them early, and you'll see how that
Man.
Fares throughout the entire year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it'd be a blast. I cannot wait.
We were talking about Ben Gamel. They make the trade for Gamel. One of the reasons was, as he said, look, Broxton and Domingo, when they ran out of options, they're not valuable to us anymore.
Nope.
It's the way they play the game, and Gamel's got an option. He said he just became that guy. So I sat here yesterday, and I really wanted to watch him. Good guy. I mean, he ends up getting a base knock yesterday and had a couple of loud outs. And so we were talking about that, and he said, you know what, he is hitting the ball hard. They believe offensively he can hit in the bigs. But the value to them is the ability to come in and play defense and the ability to have options to be able to say, okay, we can send you up and down at will if we need to bring up an arm, if we need to bring up an infielder, if we need to make a change somewhere along the way. We've got that option, and I really this year, to me, I think your goal, you got 125 out of Ryan Braun last year. Can you get 135 out of Ryan Braun this year?
Even 125, I think you're in decent shape for a veteran guy like that. Gamble has been squaring up the ball. So has Corey Spangenberg. They've hit into some loud outs. And you're absolutely right, Bill, on the option thing. That plays a key role in the roster manipulation, if you will, in this organization. It has to. Now, the unfortunate thing is, you look years down the line, and I know there's some MLB changes going on this year and incorporating some next year, and then the PA and the league are going to get together and, you know, sort of ratify a new contract, if you will. When they get to the point where they start limiting this back and forth to AAA, that is not good for this organization.
Right.
It's not going to be good for this organization, and I'm going to lose my mind because you incorporate that. And, again, leaning toward the bigger market teams
that
can afford to chew on contracts if they miss.
Yeah, no, that's – and to me, that becomes – blatantly unfair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because the only way a smaller market team, and I by same markets, and people always say, well, Milwaukee's a bigger market than some of these other ones that are out there. You're talking about media market.
Yeah.
The ability to generate total revenue dollars via your media income sources and your sponsorship deals. And it's the smallest market in all of baseball. And when you take that ability away, and you can't just go buy a guy like Bryce Harper and a couple of the other big names that are out there, you don't have that ability here. You're thus eliminating them from competition. That's just my thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, speaking of rules, let's do this. Let's take a – you guys got more time?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
oh, the hell you do. You can stick around anyway. Why am I asking? Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Billy Schmidt is hanging out with us. Tim Allen is hanging out with us, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, and also a Spring Training Live down here on our flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan, back in Milwaukee. We're broadcasting live from American Family Fields of Phoenix. We got more baseball chatter coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face high behind your... Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show, broadcasting live down here, American Family Fields of Phoenix, and the spring training site for your Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers taking on the San Diego Padres today. They ended up with a 7-7 tie yesterday. Here at AmFam Fields, and they're going to be back at it again. Saw Freddie Peralta throw, and Peralta threw rather well. Hit 97 on the gun a couple of times yesterday. Got more than a few Ks. Gave up one long ball that ended up hurting him. But beyond that, pretty solid day watching him get some of his work in. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, along with Baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt sitting here with us. And we were talking before, guys, about some of the rules changes, Tim, you had mentioned. Tell me why they have a pitch clock here.
Yeah, because
they don't use it.
No.
It turns on, but, I mean, you're 5, 6, 8, 10 seconds after the thing's shut off.
Yeah,
they don't
no
even use it.
Absolutely. We're seeing it go down to zero, shut off, and then it's 5 seconds later, then they pitch.
Yeah.
I think it's just a barometer here, to sort of a test site in Cactus League action here. I don't mind the pitch clock. I really don't. I think the players could use something else and change something else, but I don't mind as a fan the pitch clock. It does. We have to change with the times too, man. As much as us traditionalists, or as Billy would say, old people.
Well,
yeah.
There's a nicer way of saying it,
yeah.
I guess.
We want it. We want things to stay the way they were because they were successful. Baseball has been successful for 125 years or whatever. But we also have to make sure we understand that there's a market out there and there's a demographic and there's an audience that has changed. People change. Society has changed. I think the pitch clock is probably on its way, and it may be the battle point in the new agreement.
Yeah, and I don't think that – I think more is going to be due to money and splits of revenue, especially media splits and roster size once that really gets into the nuts and bolts of what they're arguing about in 2021. But there's no real – if, ands, or buts, I think, with the pitch clock of how you're going to be able to quantify how it works. You're going to maybe shave off 2.5, 3 minutes of the game, and you're doing more than that with how you're cutting down on media timeouts and 2 minutes in between innings. It's just, it's a, like you said, Bill, I don't know why it's here.
I have no idea why it's
nobody
here.
Cares, nobody no. watches
it's just
it.
Like something to do in between pitches for a fan, you know. To
and
say.
That's
what
the do
thing.
They want out of it, though? I mean, what do they think they're going to shave off? You say 2, 3 minutes, even if it's 4, 5 minutes. We've seen incrementally the games get shorter, and then last year it took a little bump up, but I mean, what do they want out of this thing? Do they want 2.5 hours?
That's exactly what they want. They want it closer to the NBA. But to me, it's not an issue of the length of the game. It's the lack of action in the game. When you're sitting here and I'm for four straight innings and I'm paying $12 a beer, I'm sitting at home watching the game on TV, and for four straight innings there's nobody on base, there's no threat of scoring a run,
yeah,
it's easier to flip the channel.
It's because strikeouts have become acceptable.
Absolutely.
When they went
the ball's
to launch angles and when they yep. went to exit velocities, and that became prevalent when it came to your sabermetrics numbers, then suddenly it was like, well, we'll take the strikeout if you're going to give us 25 home runs a year and be able to drive in 75 runs. We will take that. And that, to me, has been part of the ruination of the game. Not that the game's terrible, because I still enjoy it, but when it comes to the average fan or the casual fan, because remember, the hardcore baseball fans love baseball. They don't care. They're already in it to win it. The people that hate it, hate it. But what you're trying to do is garner that casual fan to watch. And the casual fan saying, you know what, I can turn this off and turn it back on in 2 more hours, and I can catch 7, 8, 9. What do I need to be here for?
I'll know exactly what happened.
Exactly.
So much of it gets cut out, Bill, when you're talking about balls out in play, because the casual fan likes to see defense. If Orlando Arcia is running up the hole and spinning and throwing over to first and getting the guy by a half step, that's exciting.
I go back to the old days when Ben Sheets was here, and I used to watch him swing his brains out in the batting cage, and I'd say, what are you doing? He'd say, hey, man, I can throw a no-hitter, nobody cares, but chicks dig the long ball. You know, I mean, that's what you would say, and it's right. It's right.
He is right, and the traditionalists, they will say, that is the action, a lefty-on-lefty matchup. And, well, he got him on a 2-2 curveball on the outside. He froze him on the inside. I think that is where the older generation is, but we have to change. And the balls in play are going to come back. They will come back, guys. It's going to come back. They're going to start hating
the league will adjust.
They will start. Someone will come up with this pioneering idea, whether it's next year or 5 years from right now, that says, man, this game would be a lot more exciting if there were batted baseballs all game long.
I think a couple of things. The use of instant replay has gotten to be stupid with looking at every play. It used to be just two challenges, and I don't know where the hell that went. Where you can just have a manager kind of give a wink and a nod and go, it was close, might as well go ahead and look at it. So that bothers me. Yeah. And then in addition to that, now they're talking about, pitchers that come into a ball game, minimum of 3 batters. Which I think is a little bit, because you take away some of the matchups that you would normally see when managers get into that aspect of it. So I'm not a fan of that. And then they're even tinkering with the idea of moving the mound back.
That's the one that blows my mind.
And I'm like, are you serious?
Nope.
First of all, how do you then quantify baseball as the game, as the national pastime, record-wise, with the guys that are throwing 60 feet 6 inches as opposed to what now, 68 feet, 70 feet?
You've already seen something work where if you wanted to increase offense like they did way back in the day, you lower the mound. Just lower it. You've done that before, and you know it works.
And then in addition to that, now you mean everybody's wanting a guy that can throw 95 miles an hour. How many arms are you going to tear up trying to throw a 95 mile an hour fastball another 7 to 10 feet?
Absolutely.
No doubt.
It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Mm-hmm.
They're either guys that have had Tommy John or are going to have Tommy John.
Right?
I mean, it's one of the two with these bullpen arms. But, Craig Counsell made some comments on that rule change that the Atlantic League has adopted, and that's moving the mound back a little bit.
That's because baseball's paying the Atlantic League a stupid amount of money to try this.
Absolutely.
And they're trying this out. I love the positive spin that Craig put on it.
It was
because they're trying this out in independent ball, all these players would get so much more attention than they normally would, regardless of the game or the inches or the mound being moved back.
So if a star player was in a car wreck, he would get some publicity as well.
Yes, he would.
Is that the kind of publicity you want?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand that part of it. I don't, because pitching is a precision game, and a 3-4 inches do make a difference, man. They do.
Well, and two, you're talking about you want to increase offense. Let's just change how these guys have seen pitching for the last 10 years. That makes it a lot better.
If you add 7 to 10 feet, you're talking about a looping pitch almost.
I wonder if Manfred is just tinkering too much. Just wonder.
He's trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
He's got too many people around him that are telling him that this might be good for the game.
Right.
And I like
some bad advice.
And I know this seems old school, but I liked Bud. because Bud knew the tradition of the game, but was able to grow the game within today's society to say, okay, let's add a wild card, let's add some excitement, let's make sure we get our revenue up. They added certain things without changing the essence of the game.
You know who would be a great commissioner? And I mean this. A guy that does think out of the box, but he thinks it through very carefully, and that's Doug Melvin. I think he'd make an outstanding commissioner.
Yeah. I do. Yeah, I could see that. And not a thrilling press conference, but I could see that. Hey, Doug is very, very monotone. So real quick before I let you guys go, you know, so far, nothing, knock on wood, no major injuries. Nothing really that's been overly exciting, nothing really to see here. Other than, you know, yesterday I was making a mention, Ryan Braun looked like he was kind of swinging with a sponge. I know he's trying to change his launch angle a little bit. But this is just kind of very casual business as usual. There's not much here right now. You know what I mean? There's no dramatic stories.
I think there's a mission, and that's what we're hearing down in there. And you've heard the term unfinished business, and I think that's their mantra.
Zach Davies said it to you guys.
Yeah. There is some unfinished business. I think both individually for a lot of these players, Zach Davies being one of them, Chase Anderson being another, but as an organization, as a whole, it's time. And I think that may be what we're reading here. The fun and games, yeah, they're going to have some fun. They'll let that happen organically, but they need to finish this thing off.
Well, and once you taste success, all you want to do is get your mouth right back on that pie, and they're going to be in there for a long time, all year long, fighting for it. And it's going to take – we talked to Lorenzo Cain. He goes, hey, man, we're going to have to do the same thing we did last year. We're going to have to win a bunch of games. We're going to have to play hard every single night, and hopefully we get there get ourselves in the same spot.
Before I let you guys go, we got about a minute here before we got to get out of here. Obviously, this is my last broadcast down here. We all head back home. Best story coming out of camp so far?
That Tim Allen thinks that he's 180 pounds. There's no way this guy weighs more than 155 pounds soaking wet.
I'm going to prove it. It'll be on video.
I know I don't want to see a naked weigh-in.
It's starting to piss me off, and quite frankly. I know I look like Slender Man. I get it.
He could crack one of these thighs that he's got here, like a chicken
that
bone.
That shin bone is massive right there. I think what it is what I just talked about, Bill, to answer your question. That is a mission. I think they have the taste. I think they really believe that they are as legitimate as any other team in the league.
Good stuff.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.